Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for that spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon resurrection. Thank you, Father, for that great work of salvation. We give you praise. We ask and receive this evening that as we go into the word, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches of the great work, the riches of the glory that is our inheritance as saints. We declare that our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. There is no confusion as the truth of God's word is taught this evening, this morning, this evening. There is no confusion. There is no confusion. And at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified, you know, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Hallelujah. So we will just continue in our very interesting conversations we've been having. Conversation we've been having for a couple of months right now, you know, for about 6 months now, we've been investigating scriptures, you know, and really we are trying to lay a foundation for, okay, I might not have said this, but we're trying to lay a foundation for investigating salvation. Yeah, so at first, when we started investigating scripture series one, we said we're laying a foundation for sacred cows, baptism and communion and feet washing and those practices that, you know, people think we can ask questions about. But in the real sense, we are trying to lay a foundation to, we're going to have a very long, interesting series regarding or concerning salvation, you know, maybe just after this teaching or just in the nearest future. So we're trying to lay a foundation for Bible study, you know. So we are presently in investigating scriptures series 3b, and we're particularly examining God's word on communion, what we call holy communion, you know, and things like that. So our first series on baptism was foundational for this also, and we did that series 3a. You know, we tried as much to do an exhaustive teaching to clear gray areas concerning questions we could possibly have concerning water baptism. And we saw and came to a conclusion from scriptures that we were not instructed by either Jesus or the apostles to do, you know, to dip ourselves into water and things like that. We're investigating communion, you know. What are sacred cows? Sacred cows, like we said, are those things that, or those ideologies or practices that we were born to meet, and people make it look like we cannot ask questions about them. You know, so we're doing Holy Communion, and we're in track six. Yeah, track six. So we've laid foundational five teachings for what we are teaching today, which is still foundational for what we're going to teach in subsequent teachings, you know. So if you're with your Bibles, I would like you to turn with me. I believe you should be with your Bible. Matthew's Gospel. This is a Bible study. You know, every time our saints we gather for a Bible study. Matthew's Gospel 26, verse 17. Matthew's Gospel 26, verse 17. Matthew's Gospel 26, verse 26. Let's see Matthew's Gospel 26, verse 26. Matthew's Gospel 26:26. You know, it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, to the disciples, and he said, this is my body, take and eat. Let me read that again. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. What did he take? He took bread. What did he take? He took bread. What were they eating? They were eating bread. What did he take? He took bread. What did he call what he took? He said, this is my body. Yeah, so he took bread and said, this is my body. He took bread and said, this is my body. Now, remember in our previous teachings, we've examined that, you know, Jesus did not start that thing on the table. Bible says in verse 26, they were already eating. So what were they really eating? If you backtrack to verse 17, you will see what was happening there. It says, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread. What is unleavened bread? Unfermented bread. That's bread without corruption, really. Yeah. Unfermented bread. The first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? So there was a ceremony or celebration that was about to occur, and there was a preparation made ahead of that. So he says, where would you prefer? Where would you want that you would eat? Where do you want us to prepare the Passover so you could eat? Remember, so the Passover was something that preceded Jesus. that meal they were eating, that festival they were celebrating, was a festival that was already in existence before Jesus came. Are we together? So it preceded Jesus. So Jesus did not start the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Yeah. So look at verse 18 now. He now says, and he said unto them, go into the city to the man and say that, Master, his times are hard and this and that, you know. And verse 21, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. So they were eating already. That means they had made ready the Passover. Yeah, so they were eating and said, one of you shall betray me. Look at verse 22. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it me? Is it I? Verse 23. And he answered and said, he that dipped his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man, you know, things like that. And Judas, which betrayed him, answered. Now, how did they know that it was Judas who betrayed? Remember, the account of Matthew was written after all the events had happened. The four Gospels were written after most of the epistles were already written. So Jesus had already died, resurrected way before the four Gospels were written. So when you see that Judas, which betrayed him, is not trying to say that there were prophecies concerning Judas. There were prophecies concerning the activity of Judas, but those prophecies were not talking about Judas in himself. However, Judas fit into the prophecy that went ahead of time. However, Matthew's Gospel was written after all the encounters that happened. Yeah, so Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. Look at verse 26. And as they were eating, our emphasis. So we've seen from verse 17 that basically there was a festival that was celebrated every year. There was a festival that was celebrated every year. So that's why they were asking Jesus that, where do you want to eat? Where do you want to celebrate? Or where do you want to do this festival? Where do you want to partake of this festival? Where do you want to eat, you know, the Passover? That means it was something that Jesus, so it wasn't new, you see. So it wasn't new to Jesus, because Jesus didn't say, what are you talking about? So it means that there's a probability, or it means that Jesus had been eating it. That wasn't the first time that Jesus was having the feast or partaking in the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. It wasn't new to Jesus. You know, remember, Jesus partook of John's baptism, but never instructed to keep doing baptism. Jesus partook of being, Jesus was dipped into water, yet he never instructed that anyone should be dipped into water. Yes, we're trying to examine that also for communion, you know, and there are some very salient information that we need to establish properly. Remember, we already established that of baptism, that John the Baptist started baptism, not Jesus. We already established that Jesus didn't start the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, what you call Holy Communion today, or the Passover. Yeah. So Jesus didn't institute it. It didn't start with Jesus. Jesus met it on ground. Where did it start from? It started in Exodus 12. So the same way he did not instruct water baptism, yet we do it without asking questions. You know, the instruction for eating the Passover was not Jesus that gave it. It was instructed in Exodus 12. We saw that in Exodus 12 verse 13 already, you know, glory to God. So the difference between the Passover that had been happening as a feast, difference between the usual occurrence of that activity or that ceremony and the activity that happened when Jesus was with his disciples in Matthew 26 is that Jesus made a conversation out of the practice. So the practice preceded Jesus, but Jesus made a conversation out of the practice. Jesus made a conversation out of the practice. So he had been eating it even before time. However, in the previous times, he might not have made a conversation from that activity. But at this time, he made a conversation out of the activity. So while they were eating, Jesus took bread. It means that we need to pay attention to the conversation that Jesus made out of that activity. Are we together? Yeah, it means that we need to pay deliberate attention to the activities, or to the conversation rather, that Jesus made out of those or that activity that had been done over time. You know, if you turn with me to John chapter 5, remember, the activity of the Passover started in the book of Exodus, and Moses wrote Exodus. Look at what John 5:39 says. Look at what John 5:39, look at what it says. John 5:39, it says, "Ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So scriptures testify of one person, Christ Jesus. So the testimony of Jesus and the prophecies and the utterances that went ahead of him are found in scriptures. You know, verse 45, "Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For I did believe Moses, he would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me." So scriptures testify of Jesus. So the scriptures have been laying foundation of, or they've been laying a foundation of the things that Jesus will do. Let me say it this way. There are things that Jesus was meant to do. There are certain things that Jesus was meant to do. Scriptures had already prophesied those things ahead of his coming. Hallelujah. So Jesus, so if you read Moses, but look at what, see what, see what Jesus said there in verse 46. "If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because Moses wrote of me." So at that table, he was making the conversation to explain what he would do. Inasmuch as the prophet of old had given by prophecies and utterances what he would do, he now made a conversation out of the practice that was done from time. So, what was Jesus doing on that table? He was really explaining what he would do. Let me say it again. What Jesus did on that table was to explain what he would do. It was to explain the things he would do just in a distant time from that moment. He was doing, giving an instruction or explaining, giving a charge concerning the things that he would do in no sooner time. Hallelujah. So, if you go back to Matthew's Gospel 26. Matthew's Gospel 26, verse 26. Matthew's Gospel 26, verse 26 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread." Look, remember, now take note. Go back to verse 17. It says, "The feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, wherewithal that we prepare to eat the Passover." Where did the Passover sacrifice or Passover ceremony start? It started in the book of Exodus. Now, see what Paul tells us about that Passover. Look at 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. "Purge out therefore the old living, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Now, what was the instruction that Moses gave in Exodus? They were to kill the Passover. They were to sacrifice the Passover. What did Paul tell us about our own Passover? Our Passover is Christ, who has been sacrificed for us. Hallelujah. So a good way to read verse, so a good way to explain what was happening in Matthew 26 is that the summary of what Jesus was saying as, "Take, eat, this is my body, drink this cup, this is my blood." What he was really saying is, "I am the Passover." Hallelujah, dear saints. Yeah, go back to Matthew 24, Matthew 26. Go back to Matthew's Gospel 26. Matthew's Gospel 26, verse 26. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Verse 27, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it." Hallelujah. Look at verse 28. "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins for all." So a summary of verse 26, 27, and 28 can simply be that Jesus was simply saying, "I am the Passover." Really, now remember, when you see, "Take, this is my body," what was Jesus trying to do? He was trying to explain the fact that he would give himself sacrificially. He would submit himself sacrificially, yes, to be killed by men. That was a sacrifice to be done. What was that sacrifice really doing? What was the sacrifice that was done before he came? The sacrifice of killing the Passover. So what was Jesus really saying in verse 26, 27, 28? He was really saying that, "I am the Passover." So if you mix Matthew 26, 26, 28 and 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7, you realize that what Jesus was really summarily saying was, "I am the Passover. I am the Passover." Look at John 3:16. Look at John 3:16. Now remember, what was the lamb that was killed during the feast of the Passover? Remember, we gave the name in our last teaching. It's called the Paschal Lamb. Are we together? It's called the Paschal Lamb. Now look at John 3:16. Or in fact, before you read John 3:16, go to John 1. See John 1. John 1. Look at John 1:29. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29. Look at John, chapter 1, verse 29. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What is the Lamb of God? Now, what was the Lamb of God? Who was the Lamb of God, really? The Lamb of God was who? Jesus Christ. Who did John see? He saw Jesus. What did John call Jesus? He says, the Lamb of God. So, who is the Lamb of God that was taken, that gave himself for the remission of sins? The blood, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So, behold the Lamb. A good way to read that would be, behold the Paschal Lamb of God. Yeah, remember we said the Paschal Lamb is the name given to the Lamb that is to be sacrificed. So, behold the Paschal Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Go to John 3 verse 16 now. John chapter 3 verse 16. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who is the only Son that is given? Is really the Paschal Lamb of God. Is really our Passover Lamb. What did Paul tell us? Paul now tells us, he says, Jesus Christ, our Passover. What was to happen to the Passover lamb? The Passover lamb was to be killed and sacrificed. What happened to our own Passover? Our Passover gave himself, submitted himself by the determinate counsel of God to be killed by men. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, bracket Paschal Lamb, yeah, that takes away the sins of the world, that whosoever believes in him should never and can never perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. So, if you observe carefully, you would realize that the Passover feast was a Jewish culture. You remember we saw go to Exodus 12. Go back to Exodus 12. Exodus 12, chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. And this day shall be unto you, this day shall be unto you, this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast of to the Lord throughout your generations. Now, look at verse 43. Look at verse 43. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat of it. There shall no stranger eat of it. Yeah, so clearly, strangers were not to eat from that Passover. Now, who will strangers be? Strangers will be people that were non-Jew. So the non-Jewish guys were not to eat from that feast. They were not to eat in that feast or eat that lamb until after circumcision. Okay, look at verse 44. But every man's servant that is bought for money, yeah, when thou had circumcised him. So for a man who was a stranger to eat of that ordinance of the Passover, he has to be circumcised. Then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall he be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house. Then shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover of the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. So circumcision was a criteria for partaking in the Passover for the non-Jews. So, what does circumcision really mean? It means he is now being converted. Go back to verse 3 of Exodus 12. Exodus 12, verse 3. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Look at Exodus 12, 3. That same chapter we just read. It says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. So it is to be eaten in a family. Yeah, so you have the Jacob's family, you have the Levites, you have the Benjamin family, you have the Joseph's family, right? Yes, not in the office. It was to be eaten amongst in the midst of families. Hallelujah. It was a feast in itself that was to be eaten amongst family members. Yes, so look at it as well. It says, according to the house of their fathers, a lamp for a house. Verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamp, let him and his neighbors next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamp. So we see from that instruction that the Passover feast, the lamb, is not something that was to be eaten individually. It was, number one, okay, taking of this, number one, it was restricted to the Jew. A non-Jew that wants to partake of it must first be circumcised to show that he is associated with the Jewish people. First of all, it was restricted to the Jew and Jew alone. Second of all, it wasn't something that people just took individually. When you just feel like, you just feel like. Take note carefully. The Passover was something that was done and restricted to the Jewish people. And it was not something that was taken individually. It was taken as a family. Not you are doing wedding, you break bread. So, remember we saw from verse 43. In order for a servant to take out of it, he must be bought with money, then circumcised with the household. So, we might call it Holy Communion in our day and time today, but it's really the Feast of the Unleavened Bread or the Feast of the Passover or the Passover. So, now, we're going to go into more details now. Let's pay more attention to this. Let's go to Matthew 26. Let's go back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Let's see Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 27. Matthew 26, verse 27. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, and said, drink ye all of it. He took the cup. Now, remember in Exodus, in our last teaching, we already established systematically that there was no cup mentioned in the feast. There was no cup mentioned to the feast. However, there was no restriction given to drinking. Let me say it again. There was no instruction that said don't drink anything. However, there was no mention of any drinking that was done. There was no mention of any cup that was present in that activity. Look at verse 26 again of Matthew's Gospel 26. Look at verse 26. As they were eating. So as they were eating, he took bread. As they were eating, he took the cup. Are we together? What did I do? I just used that first. So the activity of eating was a continuous activity. What did he first take? According to Matthew's Gospel, he took the bread. What did he call the bread? This is my body. What did he take next while they were eating? He took the cup. Take note of this. When he did this, they had already been eating. See, like I said, that's a very important key in this study. When he did this in particular, they were already eating. As they were eating, you know, and I'm sure some of us in our minds will be like, why is Pastor emphasizing on this? It will come in handy. It will come in handy when we're trying to tie the knots around. When they were eating, they were eating. When Jesus took the bread and took the cup, they were eating. So that means what he did by taking the bread and the cup and what he said was not part of the Exodus 12 instruction and narrative. Okay. When he took the bread, there was no instruction from Exodus 12 that says that one of the people in the room should take the bread and say anything about the bread. All they were doing was to celebrate it as a noun regarding the verb of the action that happened to them in the land of Egypt. So what did Jesus do? He took the bread, which was not part of the instruction given from Exodus 12. So that means what he did by taking the bread and taking the cup was not from Exodus 12. If it was from Exodus 12, then they would have waited for him to have done that before they started eating. Jesus and his activity of picking and saying should have preceded before they were eating, should have happened before they started eating. They should have ideally waited for him. Now, if what Jesus did was from Exodus 12, it should have been a custom to know that, okay, so think about it this way. Imagine we come together. Definitely we have a sense of culture and things like that. Imagine if you go together, if you go for a meeting with your leader, imagine your boss in the office, you go for a dinner with him. Ideally, what should happen is that when the table is served, yeah, because of how some people might be shy, some people might be, and all of all those things, or might want to give a sense of reverence and respect, you ideally wait for your boss to sit down and start eating before you eat. Yeah? Hallelujah. But what happened in this was because they were already used to it as a Jewish culture, they were already eating. So we don't see a narration of Jesus saying anything in particular before they started eating. So Jesus didn't say, this thing you're about to eat, or this is what it is. It was as they were eating. He took a portion of the bread. So it means that what he took from the table was something that they had not eaten. I hope I'm not confusing anyone here. I believe I'm not confusing anyone here. Let me say that again. They were eating. So imagine you had 3 loaves of bread. For them to have been eating before Jesus took bread, it means there's a possibility that one of the loaves was already finished. It would have been different if Jesus came into the room with the 3 loaves of bread and started talking before they started eating even the first one. But it's possible they had finished eating, even gone a long way before he took the bread. Go to Matthew's. Okay, let's see Mark's narrative. Look at Mark 14, verse 23. Look at Mark 14, verse 23. See what happens there. Mark 14:23. And he took the cup. Okay, go back to 22. And as they did eat, the same thing Matthew 26 tells us, as they were eating. So as they did eat, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Take it, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. So he took the bread, he took the cup, he gave to them, they ate of it, they drank of it. And he said, this is my blood of New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, like Matthew will tell us. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Go to Luke's account and go to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 17. Look at Luke's Gospel 22, verse 17. Luke's Gospel 22, verse 17. See what it says there. It says, and he took the cup. Yeah? And he took the cup. And he took the cup and he gave thanks. Look at verse 16. For I say unto you, okay, look at verse 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What was to be fulfilled? The Passover was to be fulfilled. Christ, our Passover, was to sacrifice himself. That is what he meant by to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Look at verse 17. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. So they were to divide the cup amongst themselves. Verse 18. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Verse 19, and he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he break it, and he gave it to them, and saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now remember, the do in remembrance of me comes along with the bread. Take note carefully. The do in remembrance of me comes along with the bread. Look at verse 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shared for you. Hallelujah. So what was going on? Was it the activity? Now, remember we already established that activity of the feast preceded all of the people that were on the table. All the disciples you could see in that room that day, the activity of the Passover feast preceded it. What does that mean? It means that they were all born and they met it as an activity already. So what did Jesus do? Jesus began to create a conversation from an already existing activity. Let me say that one more time. Jesus began to create a conversation from an activity that was already existing before all of them in that room were born. So what was he doing? It would mean that we are to pay attention to his conversation. Now, remember, what did they call Jesus? What did people usually call Jesus? Go to John 3, verse 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. Quickly go to John chapter 3, verse 1. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Look at John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jew. Look at verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Jesus, Rabbi. So what did people usually call Jesus? Rabbi. What does rabbi mean? We know that thou art a teacher come from God. What does rabbi mean? Rabbi just simply means teacher. So people already knew Jesus to be that great teacher. Clearly, we can even see that upon his resurrection. He taught for 40 days. You know, if we put the number of times, the number of teaching that Jesus put together with the number of miracles he did more teaching than miracles. In fact, all the miracles he did all ended up in teaching meetings. Yet, Jesus' miracles all pointed to that miracle, which is the miracle of resurrection. Then Jesus used them for teaching meetings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, what did Nicodemus call Jesus? Rabbi. Who is rabbi? A teacher. So, when you have a rabbi in the midst of you, or in your midst rather, doing an activity, and rabbi begins to talk, what should you do? You should listen to what rabbi has to say. Are we together? When you have a rabbi in your midst, what do you do when he's about to talk? You listen to what he has to say. Remember, the action of the eating did not start with the rabbi. The rabbi met the action of the eating and decided to use the action of the meeting for a rabbinical meeting. Yeah, really, what I just said is to use the action of the eating for a teaching meeting. When you have a rabbi in your midst, what should you pay attention to? You should pay attention to what he's about to say. Why? Because he's a teacher. Go back to Luke's Gospel 27. Go back to Luke 22, verse 17. Look at Luke 22. Look at Luke 22, verse 17. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide amongst yourselves. So, where should your attention be? Your attention should be on what he was saying. Now, let's see something. He took these things for specific reasons. Verse 18, we see clearly. Look at verse 17. He took it to say. Verse 18, he took it and said. Verse 19, he took it and said. Verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, taken of something you might not see if you are a student of God's word that is always in a hurry. What happened in verse 17? He took the cup. What happened in verse 20? Likewise also after supper, he took the cup again. That means Jesus took the cup twice. That's very worthy of note. Yeah, that means Jesus took the cup twice. Look at it carefully. He had picked the cup in verse 17 and gave it to them and said, divide amongst yourself. That means there was more than one cup that had more than that had. So there was more than one cup that had something in it. If you read verse 17 alone, it is expected that you would have assumed, or it is expected to believe, that they had already divided it amongst themselves. Before the Bible now says in verse 20, he took another cup. So he took the cup while they were eating, and after the supper, he took another cup, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Let me say that again. Verse 17 says, he took the cup and he gave them and said, take, divide amongst yourself. So it's expected that as soon as he has said that, they might have divided among themselves. Now remember, these narratives were given as summative statements. What does that mean? The details of what happened might not really have been told. So it wasn't just a quick meeting that happened in less than 2 minutes. No, it was a meeting that happened that spanned over minutes or possibly hours. Remember from Exodus 12. Exodus 12 did not have cups. Right? In Luke 22, we see that there were cups. Now, let's see how Paul spoke about these cups. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. Go to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Look at verse 17. For we being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. John 6 tells us, he that believes me has eaten of the bread and can never be hungry. Follow attentively, dear saints. Look at verse 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devil. So we see cup first mentioned in verse 17. Verse 16. Yeah, the cup of blessing. And we see in verse 21, the cup of the Lord. So in the Jewish custom, they had a couple of cups to represent what God had done for them over time. Let's quickly see that. Look at Exodus 6. Let's look at Exodus 6. So, there were certain things that were used to represent using cups. These things were based on the things that God did for them. Look at Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the bodies of the Egyptians. And I will read you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth ye out from under the bodies of the Egyptians. Are we together? So from this now, yeah, this is a good time to write. There were four cups that were derived from this. For what God did for them. Number one, take you out. Look at verse 6. And I will bring you out. Yeah? So that was one of the things that the Jewish guys started celebrating. The bringing out. The bringing out, one of the things that the Jewish started celebrating. So I will bring you out from under the bodies of the Egyptians, and I will read you out of their bondage. You said number one, the first thing we can see there, Exodus chapter 6, the first thing we can see there is that what? I will bring you out. Yeah, it says, and I will snatch, that word there, read. Yeah, R-I-D. I will read you out of their bondage. It means to snatch away, to save. Yeah, or to rescue. Yeah, I will. So the first thing is bring out, take out. There's going to be a bringing out from under the burdens. There's going to be a saving you or saving them. There's going to be a redeem you with a stretched arm. All together. There's going to be a redeem to redeem. There's going to be a redeem. There's going to now be verse 7. And I will take you to me for a nation, for a people. For a nation, that word there, people, nation, a people or a nation, members of one's people, members of one's kindred. I'll tell that again. So the Jewish people started celebrating four activities, four cups. They were used to the four cups. Number one, cup, the first cup represented taking out. Number two, to save from the plagues. Number three, to redeem. Yeah, which is what you can call redeem or to bless. Yeah, to redeem, which is really the cup. What 1 Corinthians now calls the cup of blessing. The cup of the blessing. And there was to take you as a nation, which is actually called the cup of acceptance. I'll say it again. A taking out, a safety giving, a redemption giving, and a what? Acceptance giving. I'll say it again. A taking out, Yeah, a saving from, yeah, from plagues, a taking out from the people, a saving from, a redemption, which is called the cup of blessing, and a taking as a nation, which has to do with acceptance, being one. Now, if you remember, Jesus, first of all, Jesus takes one cup in Luke and says, well, go back to Luke 22. Yeah, we've established the cups. We've established the cups. Remember, these were pointers to the work that Christ was going to do. Go back to Luke 22. Go back to Luke 22, Luke's Gospel 22. Luke's Gospel 22, verse 18. Jesus now says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Yeah, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, for I say unto you, take it, see it properly. Verse 17 into verse 18. He says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave them and said, divide amongst yourself. Jesus said he will not drink out of what he gave them to divide. Yeah, that has some things to do with acceptance. We'll look at that just shortly. What did he do? He gave them and said, divide amongst yourself. What did he say? He says he will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now, when he says he will not drink of the fruit of the vine, is he saying that he will not drink that communion wine until the kingdom of God shall come? Okay. That's what we're trying to explain. If you look at it properly, let's see Matthew's Gospel 26. Let's go back to Matthew's Gospel 26. Let's see Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Look at Matthew's Gospel 26. After all of this, what happened in Matthew's Gospel 26, verse 30? Look at something very, very, very important, worthy of note happened there. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. You know, okay, that hymn they were singing, where do you think the hymns would have been gotten from? It would have been gotten from the Holy Scriptures. Okay, look at it. Look at Psalm 113. Yeah, the Jewish hymn that they usually sang, yeah, was Psalm 113. Look at Psalm 113. You know, ideally, in fact, it's believed that they usually sang from Psalm 113 to 118. Let's quickly see Psalm 113. Because Psalm 113, verse 1, praise the Lord, praise you, the servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, blessed be the name. So it's assumed that after that activity was done, they sang this hymn. Yeah, blessed be the name of the Lord, from whom this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. Yeah, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. Yeah, he riseth up. He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill. Yeah, who is the poor? Those that were poor in the spirit are now rich. Yeah, riches of his grace. Who were those that were needy? Those were in need of the Holy Spirit now out of the dunghill. Yeah, we that were dead, just like the dry bones that Ezekiel spoke about. Shall these dry bones live again? Yeah, so we were poor, now we are rich. Look at verse 8. That he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Look at Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, remember. The Passover started what? In Exodus. The Passover started after the deliverance from the bondage of the Egyptians. Look at Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange nation. What is really saying? The house of Jacob there is just the house of Israel. Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains kicked like rams and the little hills like lambs. What ail thee? O thou sea that floodest, thou Jordan, and thou driven back. Ye mountains that ye skipped like rams and all of that, you know. Yeah, which turned the rock into standing waters, the flint into fountains of water. Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto the name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore shall the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver, their works on the, and their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hand. They have mouths, but they speak not, eyes they have not. So this was a hymn they sang usually during or after the Passover. Yeah, that's the feast right now. Yeah, they have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not, neither speak. Yeah, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusted in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Verse 13, he will bless them that fear the Lord, you know, both great and small and things like that. Verse 18, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. What were they celebrating? Yeah, this was the hymn they usually sang after the feast of the Passover. Yeah, which is why Matthew 26 now tells you, after they had done this, they sang the hymns. Yeah, they sang hymns and they went to the Mount Olives. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he had heard my voice and my supplication, because he had inclined his ear, therefore will I call upon him, for as long sorrow of death compassed me, you know, and the hell begat me. You know, I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, verse 17, I will call upon the name of the Lord, I will pay my vows and things like that, you know. There's this particular verse I'm trying to look for here. Look at verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears. You know, remember, the work of Christ, the saint is to see himself in the work of Christ. So a lot of things that the psalmist must have given in the book of Psalms might have been speaking about Christ Jesus. How do we see the ones that relate to us? We see ourselves in that work of Christ. Psalm 117, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Then you go to Psalm 18. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endures forever. You know, so it goes on that way. So that's why you now see the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief corner. You know, open to me the gates of righteousness and I will go in. So it is believed that these are the hymns that were sung after Passover. So this was what they sang in Matthew 26 after Jesus took the bread and took the wine and took the cup. You know, if you pay deliberate attention to Psalm 118, you will see that it is really the story of redemption. I mean, it's something we have taught before. Yeah, the stone which the builder refused has become the head corner of the stone. That's redemption. Acts 4, 9 to 11 showed us. The stone that was rejected in the fact that men killed him is the one that God raised. Yeah, that is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes, right? Verse 24, this is the day of salvation which the Lord had made. We rejoice and be glad in it. So we see the story of redemption in the book of Psalm 118. Remember, everything that they were saying was as a result of them trying to bring to remembrance the events that happened in the land of Egypt. Praise be God. Praise be God. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Praise be God. Praise be God. When you see the Exodus 12 narrative, there was no cup given as an instruction when Moses told them to do certain things for memorial and remembrance. Now, over time, herbs were added to the Passover. So, now, remember we established the four cups. The four cups, first of all, the cup of the blessing, the cup of redemption, the cup of salvation, the cup of acceptance. That is what we're just really doing, is trying to just lay a foundation to what the Jewish custom really entails in its fullness. So, what was happening on the table in Matthew? Go back to Matthew's Gospel 26. Matthew's Gospel 26. What was happening was celebrated way before Jesus came. So it means that, so look at Matthew 26, 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and said, Jesus took cup and said, dear saints, we are to pay attention to Jesus' commentary in that room. It's very important. Do you know why? Because he was, now, why do you think Matthew, remember, this was not the first feast that Jesus had with them, eating with them. Why was it this one that the Matthew, Mark, Luke took into recognition and wrote down in their narratives? Because something significant happened in this particular one. What does that mean? So if you think about it, let's assume Jesus was 33 years old on this day they were doing this thing. Jesus had eaten the Passover at age 32, at age 31, at age 30, and so on and so forth. It wasn't something that started, but they didn't take note of the now. We don't have the narrative of what he did when he was eating the Passover at age 30 or at age 31, for instance. But we had the Passover, the narrative of what he was doing or what he said when he was having this particular feast. So it means we are to pay deliberate attention to his commentary. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, let me say something that will interest your heart this morning. Was the Passover an Old Testament practice? Let me say it again. Was the Passover an Old Covenant practice? Now, take notes. Remember Galatians? Okay, go to Galatians 3. Go to Galatians 3. Go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. Go to Galatians 3, verse 19. Look at Galatians 3:17. Look at Galatians 3:16. Look at Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not as to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. So where was this promise made? It was made to Abraham. Abraham existed before Moses. Is that true or yes or true? Yes and true, really. Abraham existed before Moses. Who was the promises made to? The promise was made to Abraham. What was the promise about? It was a promise concerning Abraham's seed, not seeds. Paul tells us, he said not as to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the promise that was made to Abraham was concerning a seed, which is Christ. Look at verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul it, that it should make the promise of no effect. So it means that the law came after. So what we literally call, you know, a lot of people call the Old Testament the law. Yeah, in the real sense, I'm sure we've been able to do that in church. You know, we've been able to put a disparity between the Old Testament as a covenant and the Old Testament as books. Yeah, the Old Testament as a practice is not older. The Old Testament or the Old Covenant is not older than the New Covenant or the New Testament. The New Covenant has been God's plan from the beginning from inception. The Old Covenant was added. However, the Old Covenant or Old Testament books are older than the New Testament books. What did I just really say? Genesis to Malachi, in as much as you have the writings and the record of the Old Testament covenant, they are older than New Testament books. However, the New Testament covenant, the covenant of God's promise, yeah, has preceded the Old Testament as a covenant. Now, the Old Testament was given, or let me say it the way, the law was really given by Moses after they left the land of Egypt. Think about that. The law was given by Moses. Now, where did the Passover happen? It happened in the land of Egypt. It was after they had left the land of Egypt that the law was given. Are we together? So the Old Testament was given when they left Egypt. Okay, who gave the Old Testament? Oh, okay, let me say it this way. The law was given when they left Egypt. Who gave the law? Was it God or Moses? Clearly it was Moses. Go to John 1:17. John chapter 1 verse 17. John chapter 1 verse 17. See what it says there. For the law was given by Moses. The law was given by Moses. That word there, given, means offered. The law was offered by Moses. Why did Moses offer the law? Because of the hardness of their heart. Matthew's Gospel chapter 19. Who gave the law? Who offered the law? It was Moses. What was God going to offer? He was going to offer himself. Who offered the law? It was Moses that offered the law. Why did he offer the law? Because of the hardness of their heart. John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What does grace and truth there means? That word there, and, is the word kai, which is that is. So, but grace that is truth. What is the word there, truth? It means reality. So, but grace that is the reality came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 18 now clears your doubt or clears our doubts. Yeah, in case you must have thought that it was God that gave Moses the law. Yeah, look at it. No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. No man had seen. Is Moses a man? Yes, Moses wasn't a spirit. He was a man. So when he says no man, that includes Moses. So Moses didn't see God. Are we together? Yeah, Acts chapter 7 explains that better. Yeah, so the law was given by Moses. Moses didn't see God. Moses, because of the hardness of their hearts, gave them the law. Remember that narrative. You know, if you read the book of Exodus very well, you realize that the law came after they had left Egypt. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, is the Passover an Old Testament covenant or an Old Testament practice? You will see that the Passover preceded that covenant of the law. Or the Passover preceded what? So the Passover as a covenant, the Passover as an action rather, preceded what? The law being given by Moses. The feast of the Passover rather preceded the law that Moses gave. So you realize the feast was to celebrate what was done. The feast was to celebrate the action that was already done. Remember, the Passover as a noun is to celebrate the particular event of the Passover as the verb. What's the word there? Passover. Passage and Pesach. Yeah, Passage the verb and Pesach the noun. What is Passage? It means I will halt or I will bring to a stop or I will stop. So if we see over time, the law that was given, the Passover now became an ordinance together with the law. Let me say that again. It did not start with the Old Testament, but it was now made as an ordinance in the Old Testament, what you call the law. Let me say it better. The feast did not start with the law. The feast preceded the law. However, the feast was made an ordinance and instituted together with the law. It was perpetuated with the law. Glory to God. Glory to God. Same thing with tithing. Tithing did not start in the law. We saw that Abraham gave a tithe. We saw tithing clearly in Genesis 13. The law was given by Moses. So when Abraham gave that tithe, that preceded Moses. So tithing did not start with the law, but Moses, he now perpetuated tithing together with the law. So it was now made an ordinance together with the law, what you now call the Old Covenant or the Old Testament practices. Are we together? I'll say that again. The Passover feast, the Passover action, preceded the giving of the law. When Moses went to the mountain, to the burning bush, and collected whatever he collected in the law and the tablets and all those things, before then, the Passover had occurred. The instruction for the ordinance of Passover had already been given. However, that ordinance and that instruction was now instituted together and was made to be initiated into the law. So it became part of the law. Are we together? Same thing with tithing. When you see the book of, you see Jacob, you see Abraham, tithing was mentioned, a couple of times in the book of Genesis before Moses was even born. So tithing did not start with the law. Tithing preceded the law. However, tithing now became something that Moses added together with the law. He made a big deal out of it together with the law. Why? Clearly for the priest and for the, orphans and things like that. We'll see that in subsequent teachings. Let's try to tie the knot around here. Go back to Matthew's Gospel 26. Go back to Matthew's Gospel 26. Verse 26. Matthew's Gospel 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. Now, that bread Jesus took, was it literal bread? Yes. What did he use the bread for? He used the bread as a figure of speech. Okay, let me say that again. What did he take? He took physical bread. What did he use that physical bread for? He used that physical bread to use his words to point his attention to a type of bread. He now called that type of bread, "This is my body." So, bread, was it literal or figurative? The bread was literal and figurative in Matthew 26, verse 26. First, literal in the sense that is what they were eating. See, dear saints, the disciples were not eating figurative bread. They were eating physical bread. Remember, that's why we did Investigative Scripture Series 1 and Series 2 to explain what figures of speech are. We did that to explain what figures of speech really speaks about. So, there was a literal bread, there was a figurative bread in that narrative. What was the figurative bread? "This is my body." What did he take? He took unleavened bread. What's unleavened bread? Bread without corruption. So he took a literal bread that they had prepared and he spoke about a figurative bread. I said, "This is my body." Look at verse 27. He says, he took the cup. Was there a physical cup? Yes. What was inside the cup? He said blood. What was inside the cup? Bible says in verse 29, the fruit of the vine. What did he say in verse 27? Drink ye all of it. Let's see verse 28. What did he take in verse 27? He took the cup. What did he say in verse 28? He says, this is my blood of the New Testament. Was that a figure of speech or a literal? It was both literal and figure of speech. Literal in the sense that there was a cup on the table that he took, and figure of speech in the sense that he used his word to point their attention to a figurative saying, this is my blood. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. Was there bread on that table? Yes. When he took the bread, did the bread convert to his body? No. What did he use the bread to do? He used the bread to point their attention using a figure of speech by using the bread to say, this is my body. Was there bread on the table? Yes. They were eating bread. They made ready the Passover. What do they usually use to eat the Passover? They usually killed the lamb and they usually gave bread or used bread side by side with the lamb. There was an introduction of cup into the feast. Are we together? Are we together, dear saints? What did he do? He took bread, he broke it, he blessed it, he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. He didn't say, take, eat, this is bread. Let's say it this way. He said, take, eat, this is bread, but this bread is my body. Where should your attention be? Now, what made that, okay, we're going to end here. What made that bread his body? Was it a supernatural thing that happened or his words? What made that bread his body? Was it a supernatural? Did he convert the bread to his body? No. Did he multiply the bread in this narrative? No. What made that bread he took his body? Was it a supernatural action or his words? It was his words that made that bread his body. It means that in the real sense, what they were still seeing with their physical eyes was the bread they were eating that he took while they were eating. Let's say that for the cup. For the cup, was there a physical cup in that on that table? Yes. When he took the cup, did the fruit of the vine in the cup convert to his blood? No. Else, that would be Jesus was a vampire, or the people that were there are vampires. Yeah, they are cannibals. What converted that blood, that fruit of the vine to his blood? Was it a supernatural action or his words? It was his words. So in the real sense, what did they see in the cup that they drank and shed amongst themselves? It was the fruit of the vine. What did he call it? He said, that is my blood. Glory to God. Yeah, hold your thoughts. We're going to continue here on Sunday. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I trust you've had a beautiful time in God's word and you've learned one or two things. Yeah, I love you all. Stay good. Stay joyful.